broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for February the 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. People don't want the truth to get in the way of a good story, ladies and gentlemen. Americans love a good scandal until the next one comes along. Yeah, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, I talked last hour about all these sex scandals and how our society really drives the narrative for them to occur all the time. And we love them as a society. It's a sad tale to tell. I think we need to turn to God Almighty and reject this entirely. Ladies and gentlemen, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. the girl that's right there, whatever the case may be, okay? You've got to really realize we create this in our society by reality TV shows, by all kinds of stuff. It's disaster. And then we wonder why it goes all wrong and it ruins careers and ruins lives and creates problems for the children in those relationships and so on and so on and so on. Anyway, last hour I break it down and I'm telling you, you got to follow Mike Pence's rule. You got to follow that rule. Mike Pence, ladies and gentlemen, he's never alone with a woman that is not his wife. What great counsel. What great guidance. Yeah. Mike told The Hill, a political newspaper, that he never dines with women alone, nor does he attend functions. Yeah, Mike Pence won't dine alone with women. Here's why. Why will Mike Pence not eat alone with a woman that's not his wife? Yeah. In my opinion, that's the key. Now, Kamala Harris says it's outrageous that Mike Pence won't dine alone with a woman. Now, ladies and gentlemen, think about that. Kamala Harris is all mad, but Kamala Harris is known for sleeping her way to the top. You can say, I don't know what I'm talking about if you want to, ladies and gentlemen, but it's the truth. There's plenty of evidence that she slept her way to the top. Why won't Mike Pence? They say the real reason Mike Pence doesn't dine alone with women. Are they going to tell the truth? They say while men mostly dominate the political landscape in America, women are making massive moves in politics. As we celebrate the 100th anniversary of women gaining the right to vote, we also just witnessed Kamala Harris become the first, they say, South Asian and black woman to accept the Democratic vice presidential bid. Ocasio-Cortez became the youngest woman elected to Congress. Remember, she's the one that says, oh, all these white men are mad because she went around Florida without a mask because they secretly want to sleep with her and she won't let them. See how we take this to the next level every time, every chance we get? There's a lingering issue in politics that women face, they say. Some of them can't be alone with their male colleagues. Yeah. Dubbed the Mike Pence rule. Yeah, it's a great rule. Right? I think the Mike Pence rule is great. Not because I think women are bad. Vice President Mike Pence's wife, Karen Pence, they discussed this. Mike said he will not be alone with a woman. Right? Mike Pence claimed he will not be alone with another woman or attend an event where alcohol is served unless his wife is there. Why does he follow such an old-fashioned rule, they say? He's smart. They say he's a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican in that order. These labels explain his rule. Okay? This explains why he has this rule, these beliefs that he has. Mike Pence introduced himself as a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican in that order. Now, by the way, I agree with this rule. And I live by this rule to the best of my ability. Right? Think about it. The mindset is understandable. Okay? A married man simply should not have female friends. It's not necessary. Think about that. A married man should not have female friends. It's not necessary. Or proper. Okay? Now, I want to say this. Men should not have female friends, and females should not have male friends. Now, let me explain what I mean by friends, because I think it's appropriate to kind of highlight or explain a little bit. All right? Intimacy of any sort leads to sexual temptation is the idea. All right? Now, he explained the idea further, Mike Pence did. He says it's like building a zone around your marriage. While Kamala Harris claimed this to be outrageous in 2018, there have been support by those on the right for this view. He says, or they say with Pence's reasoning, he can set up a strong family and a strong husband. Now, Mike Pence is not the first and only figure to avoid situations with the opposite sex. Others have done this. Okay? Billy Graham set these rules for pastors working under him as well. There's sexual temptation when men are working away from their families for a long time. There's no doubt. Now, we're not saying the women are bad. We're not saying the women aren't capable. We're just telling you that if you obey these rules, civil, common rule, then you're likely to be in positions where you will not have scandal. Right? So Mike Pence, I believe, is correct on this. You got to not be with women. You got to not put yourself in situations where either there's temptation or allegation or who knows what. Yeah. It's important. Why does Mike follow such a seemingly old-fashioned rule? Now, that's the question. When we talk about an old-fashioned rule, is it an old-fashioned rule? Right? Is it? What about this female friend deal and male friend deal? I want to explain this. Let me give you an example. I've got a lot of friends, and I'm friends with the women too. And I'll give you an example. I'll use some family friends. I won't use their right names. I'll just call them Tim and Tina because it's simple and easy. John Doe, Jane Doe, whatever. Tim and Tina, okay? I am great friends with Tim, and I spend a lot of time with Tim, and I like Tim, and I spend time with his family. He spends time with my family. And we work together on a lot of projects, and we know each other really well. We go to each other's homes. We eat dinner together. We go on camping trips with our families together and everything. It's fantastic. Me and Tim are great friends. And believe it or not, my wife and Tina are great friends too. So I spend time with Tim, and my wife spends time with Tina. It's great. Now, I know Tina. And in public settings where we're all there, where husbands and wives are there and everything else, I will listen to Tina and what she's saying. And, you know, my friend Tim will listen to my wife and what she's saying. And we have general conversations about family together and everything else. But I never call Tina. My wife never calls Tim. My wife calls Tina and I call Tim, though. And you know what? I never get alone with his wife. There's no need to. There's no value in that. And if it wasn't for Tim being my friend, I wouldn't really spend time with Tina, even though we're general friends and I like her. I think she's a great lady. But there's not a relationship of any kind. There's nothing that is kindling, if you will, speaking of lighting fires. There's nothing that has started. There's nothing that leads to opportunity of any kind. And I have a lot of couple friendships like that. So it doesn't mean that you can't have respect for a woman, either professionally or otherwise. It doesn't mean that you can't even think they're a great girl. You know what? I'm glad Tim's married to her. She's a nice lady. I really like her. She's great. But you got to be careful that there's not a relationship there. Okay, I don't need relationships with other women. Women that I work with professionally, I mean, there's a friend's relationship that we know each other and that we get along, but there's not a relationship. And it's really important to kind of understand the difference. Okay? I am not friends with my buddy's wife, really. When I care about her, I think she's great, and we're general friends, but we're not friends. I wouldn't call her and say she's just a friend. See what I mean? Hang tight, Liberty Roundtable, live.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about scandal. Sadly, in America, it's everywhere, isn't it? From sex scandals to financial scandals. When it goes on and on, doesn't it? What do we do about it, huh? Well, now let's move from sex scandals to money scandals, shall we? Headline says this: denouncing dark money, then deploying it in 2020, writes the New York Times. Some people say, Sam, why do you pay attention to the New York Times at all? Aren't they the enemy press? To a great degree, yes. But it's great to keep an eye on the enemy, number one. Number two, they're not always the enemy. They really have deep pockets and resources to drill into stories that are kind of shocking. And sometimes they come to the table with a real bucket of truth. So the headline says, denouncing dark money, then deploying it in 2020. New York Times. Now think about that headline. Denouncing dark money, then deploying it. So at first we say how bad it is, but then we engage. Didn't I say America loves a good scandal till the next one comes along? All right, here you go. A time for, Where's this huge story? Oh, I got it. It's just huge is the problem. Hold on, let me get there. This thing is just so huge of a story. It's hard to even cover this story. That's why I'm going to spend most of the hour on it. This thing is just huge. It's a big donor scandal. And it's a donor scandal, really, about the deep state, if you will. Okay? It's really about the deep state and that both Republicans and Democrats are involved. Right? It's a sad story. You got to wonder if democracy's dying over this. Well, since we don't have a democracy, I doubt it's dying. But it's a New York Times analysis that reveals how the left outdid the right at raising and spending millions of dollars from undisclosed donors to defeat Donald Trump and win power in Washington. For much of the last decade, Democrats have been complaining with a mix of indignation, frustration, and envy that the Republicans and their allies were spending hundreds of millions of what they call difficult-to-trace dollars to influence politics. Dark money became a dirty word, ladies and gentlemen, as the left warned of the threat of corruption posed by corporations and billionaires that were spending unlimited sums through loosely regulated nonprofits, which did not disclose their donors' identities. Okay? All this dishonest, scandalous money is rolling, baby, on both sides of the aisle. They say then came the 2020 election, spurred by opposition to then-President Donald J. Trump. Donors and operatives allied with the Democratic Party, and they embraced dark money with fresh zeal, pulling even with, and by some measures, surpassing the Republicans in the 2020 spending spree. According to a New York Times analysis of tax filings and other data, the analysis shows that 15 of the most politically active nonprofit organizations that generally align with the Democratic Party spent more than $1.5 billion in 2020 compared to roughly $900 million that were aligned with the GOP. So $1.5 billion, $900 million, Democrats to Republicans, right? The findings reveal the growth and the ascendancy of a, quote, shadow political infrastructure that is reshaping American politics. Think about that for a minute, right? They say as mega donors, quote, nonprofits, take advantage of, quote, loose disclosure laws to make multi-million dollar outlays in total secrecy. Think about that. Let me say this again. The findings reveal the growth and the ascendancy of a shadow political infrastructure that is reshaping American politics in secret. Wow. They say some good government activists worry that the exploding role in undisclosed cash threatens to accelerate the erosion of trust in the country's political system. You think? Democrats, quote, newfound success in harnessing this funding also exposes the stark tensions between their efforts to win elections and their, quote, commitment to curtail secretive political spending by the super rich. A single cryptically named entity that has served as a clearinghouse of undisclosed cash for the left is called the 1630 Fund. Do you know about it? Yeah, they've received mystery donations as large as $50 million. And they have disseminated grants to more than 200 groups. Think about that for a minute. A single cryptically named entity, the 1630 Fund, has received mystery donations of as large as $50 million, and they provide grants to more than 200 groups. They say while spending a total of $410 million in 2020 alone, more than the Democratic National Committee itself, but understand that nonprofits do not abide by the same transparency rules or donation limits as parties or campaigns do. So it's a scandal. They say, although they can underwrite many similar activities, advertising, polling, research, voter registration and mobilization, and legal fights over voting rules, to name a few. The scale of secret spending, ladies and gentlemen, now is such that even as small donors have become a potent force in politics, undisclosed money dwarfed the 2020 campaign fundraising of President Biden, who raised a record $1 billion. The dark money dwarfs that, they say in the New York Times. And Mr. Trump, who raised more than $810 million as he headed into the, quote, midterm elections, Democrats are warning major donors not to give in to the financial complacency that often afflicts the party in power. That's why I see the Democrats raised way more than the Republicans, because they're warning about that, hey, when you're in power, you think you got it, but you don't. While Republicans are rushing to level the, quote, dark money playing field to take advantage of what is expected to be a, quote, favorable political climate in 2022, that stake is not just the control of Congress, although it is that, but it's more. But also whether Republican donors will become more unified with Trump out of the White House. Wow, think about that, folks. Two Republican secret money groups focused on Congress, and they said their combined fundraising reached nearly $100 million in 2021. That's far more than they raised in 2019. Here's how we conducted our analysis. The Times, that's the New York Times, admits their data is probably not even complete because the lack of disclosure rules and the secret money is difficult, if not impossible, to truly trace all of it. Nonprofits, for example, come and go, adapting to shifts in political power and tactics. Some exist in the gray space between philanthropy and politics, for instance. It goes on and on. We'll come back and talk about this more. This is shocking, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Russia has condemned a U.S. decision to send extra troops to Europe to support NATO allies amid Russia posturing at the Ukraine border. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby from the lectern.
We remain focused on the evolving situation in Europe and Russia's actions on the Ukrainian border and in Belarus. As the Secretary said, the United States stands shoulder to shoulder with our NATO allies.
The Pentagon is reporting U.S. Special Forces conducted a successful counterterrorism mission against al-Qaeda targets in northwest Syria last night. There were no U.S. casualties. Local civilians in the area say the operation lasted about 2 hours and are claiming 13 people were killed, including women and children. The operation took place near the village of Atme, near the Turkish border. SpaceX successfully launched a classified payload into orbit for the U.S. government yesterday from Vandenberg Space Force Base in California. USA Radio News.
Fever is a potential sign of COVID or the flu, and the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate with more than 100 clinical studies. Be vigilant and seek medical advice at the first sign of fever. Be accurate with Exergen. Exergen Temporal Scanners, available at Walmart and other fine retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com. That's EXERGEN.com. Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
Hey, Carrie, we need that tax report by tomorrow. Hey, Bobby, give me that expenses.
For Hari's accounting firm, client growth is exponential.
We're a couple of accountants short.
He needs whip-smart accountants at whiplash speed.
Hey, so why aren't these receivables matching up?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
As the United States sovereignty at the U.S.-Mexico border is in question, the current administration continues to allow illegal immigrants into the country, ignoring the Supreme Court's demand that Remain in Mexico policy be enforced.
Republican senators are ripping the Biden administration over the crisis along the U.S.-Mexico border.
This crisis at the border is a direct result of President Biden's policies, aided and abetted by Democrats here in Congress.
Wisconsin's Ron Johnson saying the United States has no idea how many drug traffickers and gangs are coming in. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
A piece of space junk from a SpaceX rocket launched in 2015 is hurling towards the moon and is set to crash into the lunar surface on March 4th. The school bus sized part is a Falcon 9 rocket that launched from Florida. It's too far away from Earth and had too little fuel to return, so instead it's been yanked around by Earth and Moon's gravity in a chaotic orbit. USA Radio News.
Yeah, the politicians on both sides of the aisles act like they don't want dark money, but yet on one hand they pretend they don't like it and they're against it publicly, but in secret they're absolutely for it, ladies and gentlemen. Nonprofits don't abide by the same transparency rules or donation limits as parties or campaigns. Yeah, the findings reveal the growth and the ascendancy of a shadow political infrastructure that is shaping or reshaping American politics in secret, ladies and gentlemen. This is a huge New York Times article in which they talk about many of these groups transfer money back and forth. Some can remain hidden in unexamined tax filings for years because of the complexity. Yet a number of strategists in both parties said their own understanding comported with the Times findings is that the left eclipsed the rights. So the left got ahead of the right when it comes to these politically oriented nonprofit spending and sophistication in 2020. That shift was fueled by several factors, they say. The big money right was fractured over whether to support Donald Trump's reelection. Anti-Trump Republicans started new groups that were welcome into the left's big money firmament. They say Defending Democracy Together, that's a group that was founded in 2018 by the, quote, conservative pundit William Kristol. They spent nearly $40 million in 2020. $10.5 million of it was received from the 1630 Fund. And Mr. Trump's baseless claims, they say, of voter fraud hamstringed Republican efforts to compete with progressive groups that spent heavily to promote early and vote by mail. Now, I think that there was an election scandal. I think Trump's right, but they continue to lie in the New York Times about that, right? On the left, they say the prospect of a second Trump term spurred a, quote, new class of mega donors to stop it and help delay lingering qualms regarding the corrosive effects of secret money among some Democrats. The range of donors, not just traditional progressive Democrat donors, had a wake-up call around 2019 where they realized that our constitutional republic was at risk, that they had to compete through whatever financing means and vehicles they could, which resulted in a tremendous outpouring of support and secret money. That's what Rob Stein said. He's a longtime political strategist and advisor to some of the biggest Democratic Party donors. Mr. Stein, who now focuses on finding common ground between the parties, see the deep states finding common ground, worries that the increasing embrace of secret money and money vehicles will usher in a new dark money arms race. Is that what we're talking about? Secret money vehicles will usher in a new dark money arms race. Isn't that interesting? That further undermines fray and public trust in elections. There's no legal definition of dark money, by the way, folks, but it generally has been meant to understood, or I'm sorry, generally meant to mean funds spent to influence politics by nonprofits that do not disclose their donors. These groups are usually incorporated under the tax code as social welfare and advocacy groups or business leagues. Legally, these groups are allowed to spend money on partisan politics, but it's not supposed to be their primary purpose. Sadly, it's become so. The Times also included a select few charities in their mix, which provide donors not only anonymity, but also a lucrative tax deduction. So now you get government literally paying for all this to happen. See how the circle works? We lobby you, you give us tax deductions. With the tax deductions, we create secret organizations. With the secret organizations, we fund your elections. Charities are supposed to completely abstain from, quote, partisan activity, but some have taken advantage of unique provisions in the tax code that allow them to engage in the political sphere through efforts that are technically nonpartisan, like voter education and registration, don't you know? See how it all goes around and around and around in a big old abuse, big old immoral, big old scandalous, whatever. They say on the left, two charities raised tens of millions of dollars each for registration efforts that employed, quote, pinpoint targeting of Democratic groups that typically vote Democratic. The analysis also looked into two charitable groups, one aligned with Democrats and the other aligned with Republicans. Do you see how it's a deep state against us plan? They all doled out millions of dollars in grants to, quote, nonprofits that can then in turn donate and spend to oblivion without any accountability whatsoever, that engage in voter outreach and which spent millions more on litigation dealing with rules and regulations. The left's advantage in secret spendings holds true even if these charitable groups are withheld from the analysis, the Times reports. Kevin McLaughlin, who oversaw the Senate Republicans' campaign, marveled at how Democrats built an elaborate multi-billion dollar money dark network. It's a dark money network, while simultaneously railing against the scourge of dark money. Think about that. Democrats built a huge network of dark money while publicly railing against it. Republicans, of course, still gave heavily to political nonprofits in 2020. Although they say the most well-funded efforts were focused directly on Congress, underscoring how some donors remain committed to the party, even when they were less enthusiastic about directly supporting Donald Trump. Two nonprofit groups affiliated with the House and Senate leaders were roughly at financial parity with three similar Democratic groups, according to tax records. Yeah, so there you have it, parity. The deep state, they've all got funding. It's like, we'll fund you here and fund you here, and they're funding both sides of the scandal. Republicans are bringing spitballs to the gunfight, they kind of joke. Democrats have a conflicted history on this. Back in 2005, Mr. Stein helped spark the Democracy Alliance, which would grow into an influential club of some of the most wealthy donors on the left. Warning of the superiority of conservative infrastructure, he urged affluent liberals to create what he called counterweights. They responded, seeding institutions like the Turnout Group America Votes, the Media Matters Watchdog Group, and the Center for American Progress Think Tank, to name a few. But Democrats had concerns of losing the, quote, dark money arms race, and so their concerns spiked again after the Supreme Court's 2010 Citizens United decision. It expanded the kind of spending, they call it permissible political spending, allowed by nonprofits, and unleashed a torrent of dark money into elections, particularly on the right at first, where the industrialists Charles and David Koch oversaw the political operations that came to outstrip the Democratic Party financially. Democrats publicly assailed the Koch operation, or the Koch brothers operation, as epitomizing dark money takeover. Privately, though, they plotted ways to compete. Not long after Trump's inauguration, Mr. Stein returned to the alliance with a new alarming analysis, outlining how, by 2016, the right's spending advantage has resulted in political dominance in 30 states and nationally. As their outrage grew over Mr. Trump's presidency, so did Democrats' financial secret giving. Money went to an array of nonprofits working to undermine Trump and to boost Democrats. Campaign watchdogs argue that since some of that spending went to functions similar to those of party and campaign committees, the same anti-corruption disclosure laws should apply. The watchdogs say that dark money groups flout the spirit of those laws. Well, amen to that. By casting their efforts as focused solely on issues and not elections. Anyway, it goes on and on and on and on. Gives North Carolina, for instance, and da-da-da-da-da. But the bottom line is the New York Times documents the deep state and their secret money against us all. You want to talk election tampering? Shall we?
My brother and two other boys were the ones that got in the car with her. And she was drunk. The road that goes to her house is, like, really windy. And she was taking that road at 80 to 100 miles per hour. And when hit into the road there, her door flung open. She ran out across the street to get away from it. And the other three boys were trapped in it. And the car exploded. And then when my mom found out about it, she called me at work. I don't care what you have to do, just get up here to the hospital. You know, I parked my car and I went inside. And they took us back to this little room. My mom told me that Jay had been killed. I lost it. The other people, they're like, well, you can drink, but just be careful when you drink, you know? So I don't want anything to do with it because it took my brother away from me.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Ron Paul with your weekly update from Monday, January 31st. We all remember where we were when the Berlin Wall came down. While it may have seemed that communist rule would go on forever, when the people decided that they had enough, suddenly the wall fell, just like that. Thus, it is after 2 years of COVID authoritarianism that in Canada, the largest truck convoy in history has smashed through the Berlin Wall of tyranny. I have watched as the Canada I once respected as a haven for anti-war Americans in the 1960s turned into one of the most repressive countries in the world. I wondered how a freedom-loving people could allow themselves to be abused by these many Stalins without a peep. But then Canada stood up and showed the rest of the world that freedom can triumph over tyranny if the people demand it. As I often said, no army can stop an idea whose time has come. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has been basking in his ability to terrorize the population in the name of fighting a virus. He was so confident in his seemingly unlimited power that he felt he could ridicule any Canadian with different views. The Prime Minister said in a recent interview that unvaccinated Canadians were extremists, misogynists, and racist. When the Canadian trucker stood up to his tyranny and began the historic convoy to Ottawa, he thought he could continue ridiculing people. The truckers and their supporters were just a small fringe minority who hold unacceptable views, he confidently claimed. For Trudeau, love of liberty is just an unacceptable view. Less than a week later, as tens of thousands of trucks began entering the capital with millions of supporters behind them, the brave Canadian Prime Minister had fled the city and shuffled off to an undisclosed location. As Elon Musk tweeted, it would appear that the so-called fringe minority is actually the government. The Canadian mainstream media is obviously just as obedient to the regime as ours. They ignored the Freedom Convoy for as long as possible. There was almost no reporting. Then, when it became impossible to ignore, they began to attack and ridicule instead of trying to report it accurately. It was disgusting and almost comical to see a reporter from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation suggest that the Canadian Freedom Convoy was cooked up by Putin and the Russians. Thousands of trucks have arrived in Ottawa that demand an end to the COVID tyranny. They are backed by millions of citizens who brave the Canadian winter at night to cheer the truckers on. This protest is so important because it's not limited to Canada. The truckers are being supported worldwide, and a similar convoy is being planned from California to Washington. In a U.S. where grocery store shelves are increasingly bare, the truckers have more leverage than the powers that be would ever want to admit. Thanks for listening.
To repeat the announcement,
hello, this is Ron Paul with your weekly update from Monday, January 31st. We all remember where we were when the Berlin Wall came down. While it may have seemed that communist rule would go on forever, when the people decided that they had enough, suddenly the wall fell, just like that. Thus, it is after 2 years of COVID authoritarianism that in Canada, the largest truck convoy in history has smashed through the Berlin Wall of tyranny. I have watched as the Canada I once respected as a haven for anti-war Americans in the 1960s turned into one of the most repressive countries in the world. I wondered how a freedom-loving people could allow themselves to be abused by these many Stalins without a peep. But then Canada stood up and showed the rest of the world that freedom can triumph over tyranny if the people demand it. As I often said...
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. The Ron Paul Report is vital and really helpful on a weekly basis about what's going on. But we talked about dark money. Denouncing dark money, then deploying it in 2020. That's really how they took over the elections, ladies and gentlemen. The sad part is you can talk about scandal all you want, and you can talk about problems all you want. But America loves a scandal. America loves to be lied to. America loves sexual perversion. America loves dishonesty. You say, no, we don't, Sam. Then let me ask you a question. Why, if you're Kim Kardashian, can you create a sex tape and literally use that to be launched to fame? Now you're one of the richest people in America. And Sam Bushman tries to tell the tale of God, family, and country and is lucky to raise a couple of pennies to scrub together. Okay? Because we love this stuff. Our society loves this stuff. It's sad. Now, I know you listeners that listen to me don't think that way, and I know you don't love a scandal. But our society certainly does. Right? They love it. They love scandal. All right? I hate to be negative, but that's where you're at. That's where we are. Let me give you an example. Whoopi Goldberg gets fired from The View despite a second on-air apology. Now, listen to this. This is the cancel culture that we just love. So Whoopi created this big old scandal, right? She said on Monday that the Holocaust was not about race. Yeah. They say, well, Whoopi has apologized. I've fired her. I've asked her to take time and learn about the impact of her comments. Okay, but here's the deal. Here's my question to all of you. Listen carefully. Does Whoopi Goldberg have the right to say that the Holocaust was not about race? They say that she's fired because of her hurtful comments. Now, this is not what I would say. Don't misunderstand me. I think it's a bad thing to say, right? I don't think it's a good thing for her to say. I'm not defending that. I think it's great that she said it. But you literally have everybody and what they can say and what they can't say. So I get the network's right to fire her if they want to, right? But I think it's personally wrong that she got fired. They say, what, Sam? You're defending Whoopi Goldberg? Yes, I am. Not because I agree with what she said at all. In fact, I disagree with it. But I half agree with it. Right? What is a race? Is a Jew a race? Is it a religion? Well, it's both, Sam, there now. Well, could she demonstrate that Whoopi really comes from Judah, of the 12 tribes of Israel? How do we know that? Well, Sam, she's a Jew by religion. Okay, well, then is it about race? Was it about race back in the Holocaust days, or was it about religion? Or let me ask another question. Was it just about pure hatred? Right? What was it? You got to ask that question, right? And so she made a second and on-air apology, and that's where I believe her mistakes begin. Why give an apology, Whoopi? You said it. You believe it. Why do you apologize for it? Well, because of the hurtful comments there. Is it hurtful comments to express an opinion that it's not about race? Right? Here's the question. Does she have a right to think it and say it? Now, CNN's Don Lemon commented Tuesday on Whoopi's being suspended from ABC The View for her comments on the Holocaust. He said, I thought what Whoopi said was clumsy. Don Lemon said, okay, fine. But I agree it was clumsy. He thought it was clumsy. Okay. Do I think she's anti-Semitic? He goes on. No, I don't think so. As long as we can learn from that, as long as the apology's sincere, I think we should allow people to move on and not so-called cancel them. But you know what? Does she have the right to say it's all about race? See, her mistake was to apologize. She said it's not all about race. Right? Wow. Okay. Well, I am going to defend Whoopi. And I'm going to tell you why. If she really believes this, she has every right to say it if she thinks it. Can we attack her for being clumsy? Absolutely. Can we say it was a foolhardy thing to say and it wasn't wise, it wasn't kind, it wasn't respectful, it was hurtful? You can say anything you want, too. And if you own the network and you want to suspend her or fire her or whatever, go ahead. But I'm going to defend Whoopi's right to say this if that's what she really believes. And it's debatable on if she's right. Was it about race? Or was it about, quote, ethnicity? Or was it about religion? Or was it just about pure hate? Or do we dare discuss this? Was it about perfection? White supremacy? Or was it about, what was it about? See, back in the time when the Jews got abused and killed and murdered and everything during the Holocaust, they were killing disabled people like blind people like me too. So am I allowed to speak out on this one? See, anybody who had a flaw in their view was attacked. It was pure hatred. I don't know that it was as much racially driven as religiously driven or as looking for the perfect, quote, human race as they believed it to be. I don't know what it was. It was evil. We can all agree there. But can Whoopi express her opinion or not? And her apology is her biggest mistake. I wouldn't apologize. I'd say I have every right to my opinion, you clowns. What do you think this is? But she doesn't have the guts to stand up. And I defend her right to say what she wants to say, even if I disagree with what she says. And I say to you that it's abusive, for sure. But why don't you look into the eugenics movement and realize that the United States was in bed with Hitler on all that, too. And the eugenics movement of dumbing down the rest of us and creating a live forever human race for the elite. That's what this is really about, is it not? Where does white supremacy begin and eugenics merge in, may I ask you, my fellow citizens? I'm willing to take this on. I'm not defending what she said at all, but I am defending her right to say it. Does anybody else have those kind of guts? I think not. God save the Republic.